Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this 26th episode of Raw Talks podcast with me and Simba, live here from the farm, living with the spirit, Chiang Mai, Thailand, our retreat center here where we help people come back to themselves, come back online, come back to life, and overcoming any physical, emotional, or spiritual challenge, and to incorporate more personal, emotional, and financial freedom in their lives. And today we have our favorite Joan back.
Hello, it's welcome. I'm so happy to be back. Actually, it's so wonderful to see you both and to be with your audience today.
So amazing. So happy to have you. You are live from Canada.
From Prince Edward Island, Canada. Is where I live in part of the time and the other time in Chiang Mai. So I'm here in my other beautiful place, which I love to live in. I'm right on the water. And it's beautiful here in these months. Yeah. Thailand months are for the winter. So it's lovely. It's lovely to be here as well.
Amazing. So Simba, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today we're talking about... I'm briefly just going to introduce it because I can't explain it the way you do it. But we're talking about universal laws, and it's something that you work with us for a little while now, and how we can use these universal principles to achieve a lot of different balances, harmony, and clarity in our life. Especially when it comes to belief system, because belief system can affect us in a favorable manner or in a very unfavorable manner, right? Depending on what we do with them. So this is something we've been working on with you for a little while now, and kind of starting to get a little bit of a hang of it. But we wanted to introduce this concept to our listeners to, just broaden their views and experiences as it has done for us. And I think it can be a helpful thing to have in your pocket, these universal laws, because it allows you to feel, at least from my own personal experience, it allows me to feel more at ease with whatever happens, because there is a consensus to what happens. There's like a notion that this is okay. This is not disaster. And so on. So I'm not going to go into it more than that. I'm actually going to let you go for it.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you. And this is really, I'm quite excited actually to be talking about this, because this is the universal principles or laws, whatever, however we want to refer to them, or the laws of nature, actually probably have been for me the most life transforming perspective to take. For myself. And so I'm happy to share it with others. And it can be a bit challenging in terms of working with it. It requires some effort and the challenge is really good sometimes, because without challenge we don't have growth. So I'm really interested to see how our conversation goes today. So if you want, I mean, I can start by just talking a little bit about nature. Like, you know, in nature, everything is in divine order. And it actually, nature mirrors that divine order. And there's always patterns in nature. So nature evolves, it grows, it adapts, it transforms. And I mean, we living in Thailand or wherever people live, if you're in nature, you see that change over time. And there is a pattern to that. So, for example, I live on a river, but there are tides. It's a tidal river. The tides come in, the tides go out. I can count on that. It's universal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're a little bigger, sometimes a little smaller. But the truth is, there is always this pattern of the tides moving in and out. So they're universal. The laws of nature are universal. They're only universal, though, in nature, not necessarily in our human mind. And so the human mind tends not to operate from these universal laws naturally, we tend to live in a very dualistic mind, a mind that says this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. I like this, I don't like that. And as a result of that, it creates what we might call lopsided perceptions, lopsided thinking. And that lopsided thinking is the source of our stress and unhappiness. And so, so if we can look at these laws from the perspective of, if I learn them and I can use them in my life, I'll have a whole lot less stress and I'll have a lot more peace and contentment with whatever is going on in my life, as you were saying. And I actually think today, more than ever, we need to have this kind of framework to live from, because we're living in very challenging times and times that are easy to go into judgment about and so on. So, so I'm quite happy to explore these in the context of the time we're living in.
Yeah.
And that's very different from when I learned these back in the early 90s. So, So thank you for having me to talk to you folks about.
Thank you so much for coming. I love this. For me, I always aim to have the bigger picture of everything. The bigger picture I get, the more I can expand, and the better perception I have and the better understanding I have. So for me, working with the belief systems are a massive deal. And it's also something that we run into with the people that we work with a lot, and that we have these perceived conceptions about this is bad, this is good, and that there is a balance within ourselves, or a lopsided. And first of all, I would like to, I think some of my viewers don't know what lopsided means. So I would like to just, because we will use that a lot. So can we just describe what that means for people who might not be as savvy in the English dictionary? I didn't know what it was when I heard it the first time.
What it meant. Sure. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. So, let's just take an example. I always like using relationships as an example. So we meet somebody and, oh my heavens, they are wow, you know, they're the wow person. I really think finally I've met the one. And with that kind of excitement and enthusiasm, we tend to look for all the things that match our vision, our picture of who this person is for us or will be for us. And we also tend to then not see the other side of that, which might be the things about them that we don't like or may not like in the future. But in that moment, because there's so much maybe connection and and everything, suddenly they're everything we want. And that's a lopsided perception of a person, in that everyone has everything. We're not all one way. And when we're lopsided, we tend to become infatuated, for example. And that infatuation leads me to not seeing perhaps the whole truth of someone. So what happens when we do that? When we're in lopsided, in the upside of somebody, what happens? I always ask people that. So what happens? And they'll say, I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. And I go, yeah, because it's going to drop. That's a universal principle. Some point in time, and for some, it can last, that infatuation lasts longer than others, but the shoe will drop. But it isn't a dropping of a shoe. It's actually beginning to see the other side of that person and seeing them more in balance. And that's actually the first law, the law of balance, which is we're always seeking balance, or nature's always seeking balance. And where we're not in balance is actually in the human mind. We're pretty lopsided. We either see all the upside of something or we see all the downside of something. And the universal principle says there's actually both in all things, the upside, the downside. And so that's what the law of balance is about, being able to bring our mind into this balance of the truth of who or what the situation is bringing the individual and so on. And when we can do that, then we actually find ourselves being able to come to a place of peace within ourselves and know that, and so, because when we're not infatuated and we only see the downside, that actually can lead to resentment or depression. Elation and infatuation is when all we see is the upside, and depression and resentment can be about only seeing the downside of something that we, quote, perceive as bad or not good for us. But in each of those situations, whatever we infatuate or we see the downside about, there is actually the balance. It's just we don't look for it and we don't want to perceive it. And we want to, often our ego wants to either protect us or give us what we want. And so we get stuck in these places of either seeing only one side without seeing the other. And when, and that, yeah, so it can be positive. It's not that, it, you know, people always think, well, if I'm seeing all the positive, isn't that a good thing? Like positive thinking. Well, positive thinking is good as long as you look at the reality of the situation that tells you, yes, it's positive, but it also is not.
Yeah.
And if I can see both sides, then I don't have to find myself in a lot of emotion. I can be grounded and in reality about the situation and choose then to focus on the upside, because I know there's both. Yeah. And I want to focus on the upside.
Can't I see think... the forest for all the trees.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this this law is extraordinary. I think that was a very big eye opening for me, that there's that there is this universal balance. And if you look at any kind of like the Buddhism or Hinduism or like all of these ancient traditions, they all talk about the balance and like holding everywhere they talk that about that, that there is this balance, and it's about the positive and the negative. It's like heaven and hell, it's all about it, and that it's coexisting at the same time. It's just, where do you look? It's just,
yeah, where do you put your attention? Yes. What are you looking for?
And also what I, for myself, when we've been working and discussing about these balances and the laws and just how it's connected to the belief system, that it's, I understand that when you said that this was one of the bigger changes or the most revolutionary things that you work with, because if you can find yourself in that balance and accept the positive and the negative of every situation, that there is a positive and a negative, then you automatically become at peace.
Yes. And the more challenging one tends to be for people, I think, is to find the upside of something that may be painful, that's maybe harmed, or you just can't imagine there's anything that is a benefit to what's ever happened. Yeah. And that can be... It's really challenging sometimes to look at that. That's why sometimes in looking at balance, it's good to have somebody else help you look at it, because when you're emotionally charged around something yourself, you can't see it. And literally, it's almost like my brain cannot go there. I cannot imagine an upside to whatever it might be that's occurring here. But in time, and anyone who really spends time with this law starts to realize, oh my goodness, yeah, there is these benefits, there is this upside, and suddenly the emotional charge around it starts to diminish, and it's not so stressful, and you're not so judgmental about what's happening. It's not, you're not judging it in the same way, and that then can bring much more peace in our lives when we can see that even very, very difficult and challenging things that seems almost impossible to imagine that there is an upside to it.
Yeah.
I was thinking trauma. That was the first thing that came up, you know, when when the mind can't even remember the event, and the parts that I remember, there's like, how can I ever see a positive side of this? And, you know, it kind of shapes the whole brain and the nervous system. So that is definitely the first thing that came to mind for me, you know, how to use these laws to work through traumas, essentially, that you allow yourself not to be lopsided, that I can actually see the full range, and then the body can start to process it better.
Absolutely. And actually what happens is that can happen is that when we can bring a situation or an individual or a circumstance into full balance, like total balance, there is a moment in that part of the process in which one feels a moment of what we might call enlightenment. There is a still point moment that occurs. And it's like suddenly the brain sees it all. And it just is like, wow. And for me, it's a tear. I get one tear coming down my left eye. That's the moment. And for everyone, it's different. It's a physiological moment in the body. And that is that what you're talking about, that sort of nervous system connection, like it's the physiological connection to a belief, a perspective that has totally shifted. And suddenly everything is at peace. And those moments are just so precious when that happens for
ourselves. It's an amazing experience.
It really is. And for me, like, you said a tear. I remember when you've done the work with me, it's like I start to feel it inside my brain. It feels like someone is massaging my brain, and it's literally moving around the whole head. And then it's hard to even go back to the same thinking with what we have worked with. I try to find it, and I'm like, but I can't really. You know, it's not really there anymore.
And I remember those moments. And everyone has them once you've had that total balanced perspective emerge for yourself. Yeah,
it's a beautiful experience.
And it's very expansive.
Yeah, exactly.
It just expands you. Beyond.
It brings you peace.
It's very cool. It's a lovely experience. And it takes sometimes a bit of hard work. And it takes an openness and a lack of attachment to our perceptions, our ego attachment.
I was just about to say that this is a really a ego work, like an attachment and the ego work, and the being open to shifting one's complete picture of how we view the world. So it's a deep transformation.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's cool. Why it's so interesting.
It is, definitely.
All right.
So that was the law of balance. Do you want to hear about another one?
Yes.
All right. So the other one that's the five of them laws that we're going to talk about today, is called the law of abundance or the law of conservation. And what it says is nothing is ever missing, it changes in form. And somebody who studies physics knows that. It's a physics law. And so if we actually apply that to life, nothing's ever missing, it changes in form. What does that mean to us? You know, so if I think I don't have money, it's not missing. Then what's the form that I have? And often the question might be when it comes to, say, money, nothing's ever missing, changes in form. I don't have a lot of money over here. But what is the form of wealth in my life today? There's different forms. And how much do I appreciate the wealth I do have in the form I have it in? And that is important because then we're more able to attract the form we want it in. But we can't do that until we recognize it's not missing. Because when we think something is missing, we often are looking at what's missing and we don't see what form we have it in. And the form And if we can't let go of our attachment to the form we want it in, then we'll stay in that sense of loss that we don't have it.
Yeah.
Without looking for a different form, it's showing up in a brand new form, but has the qualities or characteristics of what it is we're looking for. So it can also be what I said earlier about humans, we have pretty well all traits. Some are expressed and some are not in us, but there's nothing missing in me. And so that's interesting to consider. If nothing's ever missing, it's just in a different form. How does that impact me when I look at somebody I judge and think, oh, you know, that's, I don't, they're acting rude or they're acting inappropriately, you know? So where do I act rude or inappropriately in my life? Because nothing's missing, it just changes in form. So what's the form of me being rude with others or with myself?
Yeah.
So part of this is seeing that what we see in others is actually a reflection in ourselves. What we judge in other people is a reflection of something in myself I judge about me. And that one's a big one, you know. That is a biggie to even say, I'm not like that person. I would never do that. Yeah, but not in that form. But how have you ever done this in a different form? You know, and usually people can find it. They usually can find, oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And it might not be today. It might have been when I was a kid and so on. But have I ever been as that person is being right now? And then the better question is, so what's the benefit? What's the bringing it to balance? Because we're judging it. What's the benefit to me and somebody else that I am behaving like they are right now that I hate? It's because I hate it in myself. And then what's the benefit to me that I'm that way? Like, for example, I don't know what the example might be. I'm terrible at finding examples. If you give me one, I can work with it. But
we work with love, I remember. You were saying when it comes to abundance, like if you weren't receiving love from, let's just say, from a parent, right?
Right.
Okay, where else in life were you receiving that love and how did that look like? And how did that benefit you in that instance? What did it lead you to? Right. Create as a skill, or how did it affect you?
And what capacities did you gain from that? And love is a good one. Often we feel we're not loved, you know. That's a pretty universal experience for a lot of people, and so it's maybe not loved in the form you wanted it in, but what's the form? And often it can be my cat. You know, it doesn't have to be in human form either. Or my grandma gave me love, or a teacher, or someone, not the person I was looking for, you know, the person I've really struggled with for my whole life. But now I see I received it. It wasn't that I was without it. And what then, how did I benefit from that moment, that form, different from the way I wanted it? Yeah, so I think that this principle is really powerful to look at the true abundance in my life, throughout my life, not just, and so often we think we don't have, and it's a hard one sometimes because it is sometimes hard to find too. It's not always easy to find the form I've had it in. And I might want to resist that actually because I so much want it in the way I want it or had wanted it as a child or as an adult today. But there's never been a time in working with someone that we haven't been able to find it. And there is great gratitude for the form in which people have had it in. You know, and that just frees us then to be more of that ourselves for others, right? Instead of thinking it's missing in us or whatever, then we're free to be more of that for ourselves.
Yeah. And that's the lopsided as well, right? That you like, it's very hard to find another way of looking at this. If I have the vision that I was supposed to get it from this two people that I call parents or whoever it was, and I didn't get it the way that I wanted to. And then my whole life changes from there, and you know, how I look at myself, I look at others.
Yeah.
Usually it's about how you look at yourself.
Yes.
Because that reflects how you look at others.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so, both of these are highly, the balance and law of abundance are, they work hand in hand actually as well. And I think that they can create very deep healing for people when we finally are able to see the truth of our life in relation to these universal laws. And yeah, people can have very deep healing and big shifts in how they see themselves, like you say, in the world. Yeah, it's very powerful.
I know I did.
Yeah, me too.
I know I did. It was a very, very big shift. It was like, oh.
Yeah, and I feel I just touched the surface on this, but I feel like I embraced the law of the nature, that there is the law of the balance as a whole. So mm-hmm. I now know that there's a upside and a downside of each situation, and that everything is in perfect order and that it is in balance. So, but it's still very interesting how deep you can go on different topics, and but I feel like I only scratched the surface on how deep this can go. So
yeah, and I think as we do more and more work, that deeper it goes, and so, you know, and I think that when I think I shared this with you folks, when I was doing this, I used to practice on world events, like really big world events that were occurring at that time, and trying to find the benefits of people dying in an earthquake and these kinds of things, that when you can find those, it doesn't mean you're not having empathy or compassion for someone else or at all. In fact, it heightens it. But finding that balance actually gives you a much broader perspective of how life works and what the benefits and drawbacks are in certain situations, as well as that nothing's ever missing. And I know for a lot of people will be like, I don't know how you'd ever do that, but you can. And it takes some work, but you can do that. And suddenly you see the world differently, for sure. So that the law of harmony is lovely. It's about what we appreciate grows. What you don't appreciate depreciates. So how do we apply that one? You know, it's like, oh my, if I don't appreciate something, it's going to get worse. It's going to depreciate even less. And if I want something and I can appreciate what I want, it grows and I get more of it. So for example, if you're not thankful for something, you might lose it. Or, and also, you know, this principle talks about what we're not grateful for actually runs our life. And our level of gratitude brings us in harmony with ourselves and with the world. And so this principle is really, you know, I think we've heard a lot about needing to be grateful and around living in with gratitude, but truly the more gratitude we can have for what we have as we have it, that's the key. Having gratitude, sometimes things are really easy to be grateful for, but what about other things that aren't so easy to be grateful for? And if we can find the gratitude, which means if we can see the benefits of something that helps us move into greater gratitude, then we'll have greater harmony in our lives and we'll attract more of what it is we want. If I can be grateful for what I have and the way I have it, I'll attract more of what I want. And that's a lovely principle, and sometimes difficult to live, you know, to find great gratitude in things that are hard to be grateful for.
I feel like that for myself, that some of the things that I've been working on for on a personal level, that's been the absolute most difficult. Working on those things with these balances and these laws has actually shifted my whole view on my own situation, because there's some health aspects and some things that I'm working with that is just doesn't go away, and it's like I've been so upset about it, I've been angry about it, I felt that it's unfair, that why is this not working, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And then I realize what's the benefit, and I realize that my spiritual journey and this company and this everything that we do wouldn't be what it is without mm-hmm. it. And I realized that that has been the thing that has made me to go deeper and deeper and deeper and keep looking and looking and looking and receiving mm-hmm. so much more than I could ever dream about, than if I would have solved that thing, the first thing, then I would have stayed where I was. Mm-hmm. So everything, and that's like when things start to become like, wait a minute, what, whoa.
So exactly.
Because I wouldn't have gone this deep if those things would have been resolved. And then I understand that, okay, this is what I'm supposed to, okay, then everything is as it is, and I'm supposed mm-hmm. to go deeper.
Yeah, and so what you're talking about as well, is that some of this work actually enables you to get in touch with that which is about your purpose.
Yeah.
And that's that work, that sort of getting a sense of why am I here, answering that large question, why am I here and what am I to be doing or what am I to being, gets answered in doing this work.
Yeah.
In many ways. And so because we see out of the sometimes awfully painful experiences of our lives actually have formed us into the being that we are, and that is the gift we have to give to the world.
Yes, that's exactly how that's exactly what I found. That's how I found my purpose, was through the most difficult things that I never thought was gonna go away, and it's like, this is never gonna go away, and everything else comes into place, but how come this doesn't come into place? Because it's like the most important thing for me is what's going to give me the drive, and mm-hmm. that's what's going to last the longest, because that's what's going to take me deepest in the journey. And then I go like, okay, so it's like the hurt and the difficulty in that, it's like my compass into the unknown and into the darkness to kind of find the light. And that what drives me to just keep on going, because mm-hmm. I'm so determined that I'm going to solve this.
Yeah. And the other part of that comes right back to the law of harmony, which says, can I find appreciation for that which I want to push away, that I don't want?
Yes.
And if I can do that, then that's the beginning of moving to the experiences that you've had.
Yes.
And yeah. And then seeing the reason, the purpose behind it all for your life.
And then it's almost like, what do I do when I've solved it? What is going to be my motivation then? Like, ooh, shit.
Am I afraid of letting this go? Because yeah. What would I then
yeah.
do?
Yeah.
And then I, almost like I see like, oh, I can see the entanglement in this one. Mm. I can see how complicated it is, and how we hold on to our belief system, because they do actually benefit us, because we get a purpose of what we do because of that. It's extraordinary.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it's so fascinating, because the desire to hang on to it is about the fear that there's not going to be something to replace it. But the principle says nothing's ever missing. It will change in form.
Okay, so I will get another problem. Great. I will get another problem to keep me motivated.
Or challenge. Yeah. Or challenge or something. Yeah.
But that's really, that's what I tell a lot of clients too. Like, I've followed a lot of people, you can call them avatars or enlightened people or gurus. And everyone that I've seen in any religion or philosophy, whether it's Buddha, Jesus, you know, whoever it is, they all had great suffering in their life, like tremendous suffering. And a lot of them weren't living in this luxurious conditions. They were living in very, very poor conditions and in very hard times and working with people that weren't doing very well. So there is something that's very, you know, it's not that you have to go into the suffering to have fulfillment in life, but there is something about that part. And I think you mentioned it to me a few times. Life will always give you challenges. And if you sit back and try to veer away from them, the challenges that find you might not be as, I don't remember the word you used, but you know, it's better to choose the challenges that you can to continue to grow and develop on your own than just getting, you know, surprised by something that comes because you're resisting growth, you're resisting life. And that's something that really stood out to me. And I was like, wow. And if you look at that, I don't have any example right now, but most people that someone would say is like Ram Dass, for instance, you know, he got in put into a wheelchair after a stroke and said it was the best thing that ever happened in my life because I wasn't receiving. It just taught me receive. I wasn't allowing people to help me. I wasn't, and now I couldn't do anything. I couldn't walk. I couldn't. So he said, wow, this is the best thing that happened to me because he opened up my heart to receive from others what I've been pushing away my whole life.
Absolutely. And what you've just described is the law of evolution.
Oh, sorry. Which
basically, no, it's perfect. What you just led us right there. It's perfect. Thank you. Yeah. And it really, that the law of evolution or growth, change and growth, it actually occurs at the border of chaos and order or support and challenge. And so, and it's at the border. It's when there's equal balance between the support and the challenge or the chaos and the order. And that's when the growth occurs. And the thing we know is it's never done, right? There's always then the next one, which is what you were talking about, Sarah. It's like, oh, okay, so there's going to be another one? Yeah, there's going to be another challenge somehow because you're going to grow. And we know in nature, if we're not growing, if something in nature isn't growing, what happens? It dies.
Yeah.
And I look at my plants and we've had a lot of rain and some of them are dying. And I don't think I'm going to get them back because they just got, they were out of balance, too much water and not enough sun and boom. So that happens to us as humans. You know, if we want to keep our lives orderly and all we want to do is be supported, the extent to which we've lived that way, we will eventually have a challenge in our life. That I sometimes say it hits you over the head if you're not aware of this principle and choosing your life challenges, which sometimes are better than the ones that we get hit over the head with, or easier maybe, or whatever. But sometimes the hit over the head is needed. And we've all probably experienced that where suddenly it was like, oh, woke me up. Like suddenly, this challenge is so huge in my life. I get sick or a relationship ends or there's a loss of some kind or whatever. I lose my job. And it's like so huge for us. And that's probably because there's been a huge period of time of order and hanging on to things to keep them the way they are. And so the more able we are to let go of things or choose the challenges we want in our life, take on the risks, say yes to things we normally say no to, then those will enable us then to have the other side as well. And so I think that this law of evolution as I say, is never done, and it continues. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes people, I've had it in particular with people who wanted to know sort of why did their relationship end or something, you know, like that kind of thing. That's very, you know, significant in their lives. And when we explore that and we look at the other side, what was the order? What were you hanging on to? They often will say, well, I sort of really knew, but I just couldn't let go. And then suddenly, boom, things shift. And yeah, so sometimes the challenge can be made easier if we're able to look at it and see it for what it really is and then move with it rather than trying to. Now, the other thing is sometimes people are always looking for challenge, but they never give themselves the support. They don't allow the support. And like you were talking about Ram Dass, he wasn't allowing for the support and he got a huge challenge, you know, being in a wheelchair and people have to be looking after him. And so it works both ways. If we don't allow ourselves to, if we're always in the challenge aspect of our lives, then the support needs to show up to bring us to balance. And we'll find it, get the support one way or the other, and some ways are better than others. You know, getting sick is another one, you know, and it's not about blame. It's just to understand the principle and see, you know, how this works. You know, one of my experiences with this one was saying yes to an opportunity that was hugely challenging for me, which was to hike through the Himalaya mountains in Nepal. And it was a wonderful learning experience because I said, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I was a group of friends were going. Actually, was the person that taught me these laws was taking us to Nepal. And I would like to mention him before we end too, just to, because he was a wonderful teacher for me in terms of these laws. And I just want to let people know about him. But I said, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. No way. I mean, I'm not fit. I'm all the reasons why I couldn't do it. And then suddenly I started getting the support that would enable me to do it. You know, the leader said, you don't have to do every mountain and pass, you can fly some of it. I went, really? Yes. And then others said, well, you know, you're going to have a Sherpa to carry your stuff. You don't have to worry about that. So once I started to, okay, well, there's support and there is the challenge. Okay, I'll go and do it. And it was probably more challenging than I could have ever imagined, but the support was amazing too, right? The beautiful support of Sherpas holding my hand as we're going up the mountain because they knew I was terrified. You know, like, so support and challenge enables us to do things that we don't think is possible for ourselves. And then there's a huge growth that occurs as a result. And so, yeah, I love this principle. I mean, I love them all, but this one is really, it really is empowering if we understand this principle.
I get all teared up here.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. So it's important that when we have challenges to recognize the form of support that we're getting. And if we're, you know, it's like it will come and we need to recognize that support, the extent of the support. So it works both ways. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So the last one's called the Law of Hierarchy. And, you know, it's so interesting because I have this judgment sometimes on hierarchy. The word hierarchical is, I have judgment on it. And it's like, okay. So I remember when I first heard this, law of hierarchy, how can that be a law of nature? But, you know, it's based on the principle of one and the many, that there is the one and the many. And there's always hierarchy, even in nature, there's hierarchy. Those plants that, you know, take over from other plants, and you know, that there is a hierarchy of how things occur. And you know, we know that, for example, in in sort of leadership, the person that perhaps has the higher consciousness leads, people follow. And there's a principle that leaders actually, the bigger your vision is, the bigger the vision, and the more committed you are to the vision, people will follow you. And so that's how people, there are the one and the many. And that is a universal principle. There's always this sort of balance that occurs, but then there's the hierarchical perspective. You know, a successful organization often has a really big purpose. And so I we were talking earlier about your work and what you folks are up to these days. And I think this law of hierarchy is showing itself. Yeah. The one and the many. You folks are creating the one of providing a higher conscious way of living and being in the world, and people are coming and they're following. So, and not following that you're higher than me and that judgmental perspective at all. I'm talking about I'm attracted to what you're doing, so yeah. I'm going to come. And and I think that's this law and that you want to pass this law down to others in your work you're doing. So you're going to help raise them so that they then can be the one of the many that comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really...
That's cool exactly what we...
That you're doing, eh?
Yeah. That's exactly the new thing that we will start to roll out, that we want to... allow people to become the one of the many. It's not us. We are creating the one of the many. And maybe we need to be one of the many first, but it's not about us gathering people and they stay here. They come to us and so they can be one of the many and teach more people.
And those they teach will be one of the many. Yeah. It's a whole like a ripple. It's the pebble in the river, and it just ripples out.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful principle when we look at it from that perspective. You know, and what that requires is people evolving, growing into more of who they really are.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I've seen you folks been doing over the last number of years, and it's beautiful to watch and be part of. And you're doing with others. It's beautiful. And, you know, I think that these principles that we're talking about actually enable us to sort of see the order in all things, you know. If we apply the laws, we can see that divine order in all things. And, there is some challenge with that as well, as we say, the support and challenge. Like, we have to take 100% responsibility for ourselves in all of this, and don't take things personally in life, right? And you find love in every moment that you can and welcome your challenge when they come, right? And I think valuing growth and inspiration is the other way of moving into who we really are. I think that there's many others that we can think about how do we become who we really are. And it's the journey, and it's the journey you're on and going with others, journeying with others for them to become who they are. Mm-hmm. And so, it's beautiful work. Okay. Exciting work, actually.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting.
Cool. And I keep on hearing these messages, but in different ways. From like, we were watching something yesterday, me and Sarah, which was like a documentary or was a podcast about something else. But they said the same thing that you said. It was just in different wordings. It was something like the greater division. Those are the people that will lead. I don't really exactly remember the wording, but it was more or less the same essence. Mm-hmm. And I was watching something else the other day. They were talking about how we reward results Oh, you're doing so good. You're getting great results. You look like you're in shape. And they say, we should not reward results. We should reward growth and effort, because scientifically proven, that will heighten your dopamine levels and allow you to move forward. Otherwise, you get this lopsided depression. Oh, I worked really hard and I didn't get this. It was all in vain. Let's forget about my whole journey, my whole experience, and how we as society have gone into that lopsided perception. So it's funny because I'm really starting to hear it in many different ways, but the way you explain it really brings it together in a comprehensive way.
Great. Well, that's great. That's cool. Yeah. You know, I have a quote from the person that I studied with, Chris Walker, and Chris is out of Australia, and he's actually, I found his book online. I wasn't sure if it was still available, but yeah, it's called Inner Wealth, and it's The Inner Wealth, and he's written some other books since I've looked at his writings and stuff, and they're on Kindle or something, and they're available. But yeah, Chris Walker's his name. He says, when you can evolve to a place in the world where you can say nothing needs to be done, then you're able to ask, what would I love to give the world? Why am I here? Yeah. And so, so that's, that was his, quote, and he's really interesting. He has podcasts and things, and he's a business person. That's his background, is in business. I'm forever grateful for having met him and for having learned these laws. And so it's been amazing. And I, you know, there is a small group of us here in this province that had that opportunity, and it's so interesting because not a lot of people are aware of them, but when we get together occasionally, even one-on-one, it's really interesting because we always talk about it. And I'm always curious to say, so have you found anywhere where these laws don't apply? I'm always looking for, is there anywhere where it doesn't work? And so for like 20 years, I've been asking that question, and I haven't yet to find it, which says to me, a universal law is a universal law when it applies each and every time.
Yeah. And when it comes to you, you are very much in the realm of trauma and humanitarian work and, you know, all of this. So it's not like you're looking where everyone is doing well. You know? You're really looking in the places where it hurts. You know,
yeah,
dark night of the soul.
And I think today, you know, folks, that we are facing some of that all the time today, more so than ever before, and there's a lot of darkness on being unearthed on the planet, and then a lot of light coming, and there will be and so I think that these principles, I think, can help people navigate life today, and can help raise people's consciousness about that, as you talked right at the beginning, Sarah, about seeing the big picture. And this is seeing that big picture from a more of a perspective of these, of the universal perspective on even the tiniest little things in your life. And that can really help us live from our hearts, live with deep love and compassion, and for ourselves and for others and the world that we're in. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
I think that that this is very beautiful, and it's a very beautiful and it's like comprehensive way to put it all together. I mean, we could cover it all in like 1 hour and to give a perspective of the balance. And for me, it's all about also finding the ability to find this, the balance with inside of ourselves, and to turn the challenges into almost like a fire that can help you to become greater than what you ever thought was possible. And it's because of the hurt and what happened, the greater, you know, the it's like if you don't have any challenges, the greater the challenge, the greater the growth. So
exactly.
And I think if you can find that and use that challenge to make you grow, then you're riding on the energy of the change, that this is, that it's always growth, and that's the energy of the challenge that will give you this wave of growth that you can ride if you can overcome maybe the belief system that it's all bad. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take away the hurt, and that's not what we're saying. We're not saying mm-hmm. that's a good thing to hurt. What we're saying is that something good can come out of it.
And it's a way out.
Is a way out.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, here's a practice for the people who listen to this, is really commit yourself for the next week to, when there is a situation that, any situation, a good one and or a positive one, what we perceive as positive and what we perceive as not so, and try to find the other side. Yeah. Try to find the balance to it. Asking yourself, what's the benefit to this thing that I'm not liking? What's the downside to the thing I'm really excited about, or I'm, you know, enthusiastic about? And really try to work your mind to see, because eventually, as we do that, our minds will just eventually go there. We won't have to work so hard at it. In the beginning, we have to work hard. And it really does sort of like do something to the brain. The brain goes a little crazy for a little bit as we're doing it. And yeah. And Simba, you've always were so great at describing what was happening in your brain. I just loved it. So I think that that practice, and just challenge yourself to do it, I guess. See if you can find them. That's the best way to approach it. And say, can I find the upside of this very bad thing that's happening to me right now? And yeah, and see what happens when you do, when you start to find the upsides to the thing that you don't like, or the downside to the thing you like. Because we need, if we can look at, be in balance and see things as they are, then we can choose how we want to be with it, you know, but from a place of balance, not lopsided perceptions or there's more pros than cons. That never works. So, yeah.
Oh, I have to go to India.
He's refusing.
I have so much resistance to it.
Really?
To the whole episode, and I'm like, oh, man.
I think you have some work to do, Simba.
Yeah, I do.
Find the benefits of going to India before you go.
Lord. Yeah. Hilarious.
I mean, we already know the benefit. It will be personal growth.
Yeah.
I think that's what India is.
He needs more than that.
Yeah.
Appreciation for your own space.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, all the downsides, find equal numbers of upsides. Then you bring it to right to balance.
And don't be afraid if things physically start to happen in the head. You know, that's like, I felt like a cauldron, like a big kettle where there's like a lever.
Now you're selling it.
Yeah.
Now you're really selling it.
Really feel things shifting, but that's our growth. You know, it's like starting to use parts of your brain that you probably haven't been used when you've been feeling like this, you know, been more primal instincts. And now you're connecting other parts and you're like, oh, wow. This part can be working as I'm feeling this. This is very new.
Cool. And you have such good awareness. So that, how you're, the sensations in your body. So that's great. Oh, dear. Yeah. So I think, thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about the laws in this way. It's been a while since I've done this. So I really appreciate it very much.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on and you taking the time to teach us and being part of what we do. And yeah, we really appreciate it. And we look forward to you coming back to Thailand at some point.
Yes, I'm going to be back. It's just, I haven't figured out when yet, but I will be back, definitely.
See, so the benefits of coming back to Thailand.
Yes, and actually on the plane, every time I go, I'm always doing a balance, upsides and downsides of going to Thailand, because there are always some downsides, right? Bring myself to balance. Yeah, because I don't want to be lopsided when I get there and then boom.
You know?
Very good.
Yeah, I always do. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, as I do when I come home. I have to do the same thing on my way home. All right. Well, thank you, folks. This has been lovely.
Thank you, Joan. And if you fall in love with Joan, we have more podcasts with her. There's earlier episodes. We have episodes about people pleasing and healthy anger. Yeah, those are really, people really appreciate those. I knew that that would happen. So those are great episodes. So thank you so much for coming back and teaching us more. And we will have you back in the future as well. And yeah, here at Living with the Spirit, we offer in-person retreats here in beautiful Chiang Mai at the farm for people to go more in depth if there's something in their belief system that they need help with and go deeper, or different health issues or anything that keeping you from living your purpose, living your dream, living your absolute health, living in absolute balance. Then that's what we help people to overcome here at the farm. And if you can't come to the farm, we have comprehensive online experiences, both in group and in person. So you can read all about it at livingwiththespirit.com, or you can just send us a DM and chat with us. It's always our inbox is always open for questions, and you can always set up a free consultation without any strings attached to see if we are the ones for you. So that's it for today. Thank you so much. See you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.